the scriptures to John chapter 1. And I'll read verses 1 through 8 and then jump ahead a little bit to verses 19 through 28. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Let us pray. God, our Father, thank you for sending your Son as light into this dark and lost world so that we could be redeemed. Thank you for the good news and comfort we have through him this time of the year. We pray especially for that comfort for Dora and for everybody in Ken's family, especially as we miss him today here in our worship with us. Help us, as he always did with us, to be faithful in listening to your word now for us, to receive your light into our darkness, and to be made more like your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I once ran into a friend whose church had recently called a new pastor. He seemed excited, like lots of other folks in the congregation, about the arrival of a new shepherd for their flock, so he wasted no time in telling me about the pastor's style in the pulpit. "He's the hollering kind," he said. "And boy, can he do some hollering," he went on to emphasize. I think this is the impression that a lot of people have when we encounter John the Baptist, who often shows up in scripture readings during Advent. John often strikes us as a hollering kind of preacher. When we meet him in the Gospels, especially in Matthew and Luke, his sermon takes aim at those who think that their religious pedigree is enough to get them into the kingdom of God and to keep them in the kingdom of God. So he preaches to them, "You brood of vipers," which is another way of saying, "You pit of snakes, who warned you to flee from this coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." And that's not usually the kind of message you see on a Christmas card or inside a Christmas card, but then again, John the Baptist's picture doesn't usually make it onto holiday cards, though he himself gets more visibility in the life of the church this time of the year. I think that's why we need the gospel stories like we hear in John today to remind us about John the Baptist, and that getting ready for the coming of the Lord, which we stressed the last two Sundays, getting ready for the coming of the Lord involves more than just decorating a tree or any other ways that we prepare for the celebration of Christ's birth. It also requires self-examination, confession, repentance. And those are the kinds of things that require this straight-shooting kind of preaching that we often associate with John the Baptist and that he's become famous for. His sermons have a way of exposing our disobedience or our unfaithfulness. His messages become the word of the Lord that put us on trial, in a sense. Though in our text today, we see that John the Baptist himself is the one being put on trial, not in a formal courtroom sense, but in a sense of being put to the test. Some officials, religious leaders from Jerusalem, have been sent to grill John on his identity. They want to know who he is, what his ministry is all about. And John tells them that in order to understand who he is, they have to understand who he is not. Now, strange as it may seem to us reading the scriptures as we do from our contemporary setting and our vantage point, there were lots of folks who thought that John the Baptist might be the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior. That's one of the reasons why the Gospels are careful to emphasize this distinction, this difference between John the Baptist and Jesus, to remind us of John's subordinate position to Jesus. So when these emissaries from Jerusalem start interrogating John about his identity, he immediately, you'll notice, starts talking about somebody else besides himself. He starts testifying to Christ, about Christ. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." So no one can ever accuse John of identity theft. He's not in the business of trying to be somebody that he's not, or pretend to be someone that he's not. He simply starts, in response to them, pointing away from himself and pointing to Jesus, because Jesus' identity is the one that's most critical. Who he is the subject, really, of all John's sermons. So John always points away from himself and to Christ. "Then if you're not the Messiah, who are you?" they ask him. "Are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not," he says. "Well, are you the prophet, maybe?" "No, not the prophet," says John. "Then who are you?" They sort of grow weary of this back and forth. They've had enough of it. They need to get back to Jerusalem with answers. At this point, John does something different. He starts quoting scripture to help them understand who he is. He dips into the prophet Isaiah and tells them that, "I'm basically a voice out in the wilderness." So his job is to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord by preaching the good news of the kingdom's arrival. And they want to know, "Well, then, if that's the case, why are you out here baptizing?" The authorities question. "True," he says, "I'm baptizing, but I'm just baptizing with water. Already, right now, there's one here among us, one here with us, whose greatness puts my whole life and ministry in perspective and defines it. In fact," he says, "I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals." So notice how John's whole perception of himself, who he is, why he's here, what he's supposed to be doing, is defined by the fact that a Savior has arrived. That's what makes him who he is, because who Jesus is. His answers to questions that he would have asked, others would have asked, that we still ask, "Who am I? What on earth am I here for?" are driven by the reality that in Jesus, God has arrived on the scene for humankind's salvation. And in order to know who you are, truly and most deeply, you have to know who He is. And what you're supposed to be doing, you have to know what He's done and what He's doing. That's where identity and vocation and mission come from in life. True light, says John, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And right before that, we're told He Himself, John, again emphasizing, He was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So John the Baptist is a voice, but he's not the voice. The voice, the Word made flesh, God's supreme and definitive speech to us about Himself is Jesus. That's the voice of God ultimately. So when we know who He is, like I said, we know more about who we are. We know more about why we're here and what we're called to do. I think that helps us recognize that what we're doing here this morning is very much the same as what we gather here to do every Sunday morning. We're here to exalt and magnify Jesus, the Savior. We're here to really essentially follow the lead of John the Baptist, point away from ourselves and point to Christ. We're here to point to Jesus, not to ourselves. There's a pastor who tells about a dear friend of his who's always praying to make Jesus famous. Make Jesus famous is what they're always praying. And one way to do that is with our voices. As we heard in our children's message today, as God brings them together in song. So as you listen to those now who are going to come to help lead us in worship through music, I pray that Christ Himself may be supreme in your heart and in your mind, so that when we reach the conclusion of today's service and you go forth from this place in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll go forth not so much saying, "What wonderful and beautiful music." Now that is true and good. But that most of all you'll be saying, "What a good and beautiful and wonderful Savior who Jesus is." Let's pray. O God of righteousness and holiness and love, thank You for the life and witness of John the Baptist, who points us still to Jesus. We pray that as we continue our worship today, that the music shared with us will point us to Jesus, and that with it we'll go forth from here in our lives to point to Jesus, so that we and others will know who we are because of who He is. We pray now Your guidance and strength and blessing upon the voices that lead us in praise and that bring forth the joy of Christ now. We pray in His name. Amen. Awesome.